I'm not orienting my life around this ideal of capitalist achievement because it's predicated upon this value system that will steal my life and my time. I said, I think you should know. You're very cute.
Thank you.
Boop, beep, boop, boop, boop.
All right, let's see how the seating situation is. Oh, shit, there it is. Yeah.
About it?
I think you moved my chair last time.
I'm really sorry.
Well, don't let it happen again.
Okay. Our setup is a little weird today because I moved our chairs. My condolences.
I'm just not quite sure I care enough to move it again.
Also, we're comfortable and we both have very sensitive necks.
God, we are so old. So, it's just like one day. I'm not even that old.
I was going to say, we're not even old, though. We haven't even turned 30.
Yeah.
I really feel like it's a computer thing. Like when you spend more time working at computers and like work from home stuff.
Yeah.
Like it really has done a number on my body anyways. Yeah.
I feel like, I don't know. I don't want to admit to that yet. I don't want to admit the thing that I love. I love being at my computer. I do everything at my computer.
Me too.
Sometimes I'll just go in my office and I'll just put my headphones on with no noise or anything on them. No sounds. Just, I just like this.
That's very neurodivergent.
I can't even tell if this is a real thing or not. Are people fucking around? Are people playing around with the kids having dents in their heads from headphones?
I don't think it's a joke.
This is fake. This is fake.
I don't think that's a joke.
No.
It's like the pinky, the tech pinky.
All right. Show of hands. Put your pinkies up. Who's got the... I do have a little dent in mine, too.
From holding my phone.
I'm a little al dente.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
A little al dente.
No,
I definitely have, like, tech neck, too, where, like, from, like, staring
down. Do yeah.
That happens to me, like, all the time.
Really?
Yeah, my neck is fucked.
You know what is so crazy?
Huh?
Is... Oh, I, Oh, damn, I forgot already. It's okay.
You need to take Adderall.
No, I don't.
No, I'm just joking. You're fine. Do you remember or you want me to?
No, I do, but it wasn't like something that was like, I didn't talk about ego and how crazy ego is. But
well, you should talk about it.
I did remember. I actually remember the whole time, but I pretended to act like I didn't remember. I think sometimes I really like to play it off. Like I forget stuff a lot more, but really it's just because I'm like, oh, I actually not say that out loud. Or I'm like, oh, this
insecurity.
Is not a word.
Insecurity.
This is not a thought worth sharing.
Maybe all of your thoughts are worth sharing.
But I think that's actually exactly the thing I was going to talk about was like how crazy ego is.
Yeah.
Because I've been having a hard time with music again. I feel like there's just something inherently, like I feel like it's such a symbiotic relationship between being emoshi and being creative and artistic.
Yes.
And
I would agree with that.
I saw... This little channel had like 4,000 subscribers, but this one video had like 90,000 views. And I was like, and it was only like 5 minutes long. And I was like, I'm also never on YouTube either. So like the algorithm has it ain't got shit on me. You know what I'm saying?
You're not really like a consumer of content in that way.
And I was like, oh, damn. I was like, oh, let me read this video.
Yeah.
But basically it was just like the typical, you know, you can't be a master at everything.
Yeah.
And like, it's okay to not be good at everything, but also absolutely. It's okay to just be good, really good at one thing.
Yes.
And I think I just find myself, especially like lately, because I've been having so much trouble, because I took a really long break from music for a long time.
Yeah.
I was having so much trouble getting back into it. And because this is the same problem I always have, where I want to make like 10,000 different things.
Yep.
And I love everything so much. I just love music so much.
Yeah.
But I was having so much trouble like figuring out like what did I want to sound like again?
Like your voice.
Yeah. And I
relate to that.
Then this little video popped up and it was just talking about, you know, like ego will run out of gas.
Yes.
Like ego will run out of steam.
Yes.
And I'll shout out to the creator. Is there like a history on YouTube?
Yeah, your library.
Oh yeah, the creator's name was Michael Martinez. Mm-hmm. But it was just, he said this little thing that really stuck out to me was that ego will run out of gas.
Yeah.
But like just doing something that you love or like creating things that you just inherently enjoy and like.
Yes.
And this is the same conversation we've had on the channel with content.
Yes.
But yeah, like I would just find myself getting like tuckered out or like losing steam. Mm-hmm. And it was like exactly that because I was trying to make these things because I wanted to like sound like everyone else or like, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just like every time I try and do that, it just never works out. And I just end up feeling so like hollow and empty.
Yes.
And it's very much that thing too, because it's like if you're not being compensated or rewarded for it or like giving a good slap on the ass for doing a good job, you know, then it's like, What was it for them?
What did I do this for?
It's kind of like the conversation we had about the funny channel. Content.
Yeah, I was going to say, because like that's a conversation we've had a lot about the channel, which is that like, you know, especially because obviously like content that's successful in terms of like vanity metrics and analytics and all of that is like rewarded by the algorithm. And it's a thing that like, you know, the platform wants you to strive for, obviously. It's really easy to get sucked into this place where you're making content that like
is
like designed to be viewed, you know, like obviously all of our content is intended to be viewed, but like in the way that it's like that is the focus first and foremost, but it fucking sucks the life out of you.
It makes it not fun.
It's not fun at all. Yeah. And also then it is, it's definitely the thing too, where like when you make content that you are like intending to try to like work with the algorithm and vanity metrics and all of this stuff, you're like chasing clicks and views, and then it doesn't do well, it's like fucking enraging. And it's like, it's not an emotional space that I want to be in like ever, because we've tried it a few times and it just like, it doesn't work. It doesn't feel good. It's not fun. And it like also is just like, it isn't, it, you know what the word or like phrase that I've been like resonating on a lot lately is like the idea of being heart-centered and making content from this like heart-centered place.
Such a cool phrase. I know. So cool.
It's very like new age sort of like,
it's woo-woo. A little woo-woo, but it's like, it's kind of sweet and it's like, it's a little like romantic, like a little romanticized.
But also too, as like a person who like resonates a lot with like sensory things, like a lot of my emotions like live in my chest. And so like when I'm very anxious, I feel like I have bees in my chest. And when I'm like really, really sad, I literally feel like my heart is breaking. And so like making content from a heart-centered place is like literally, I feel like, I don't know, like my chest is like lighting up kind of. It's like a very like fulfilling
it's like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, but like in your chest.
No, it's like such a like a wholesome, like fulfilling feeling, you know? And like I feel like especially when we make content that is very like heart-centered, or like even creative projects like that, it like stirs up my insides in the best possible way.
It, like it's like rewarding and fueling and like nourishing for your mind and body.
Well, that's the thing too, that like when you make something that you feel really good about from like a values perspective, that it like drives you to make more. You know, it's like this energy that doesn't run out.
I think
it feels really good. Comparison is the thief of joy. I mean, it's like the cliche phrase that people use a lot.
Too, I think just to like help with everyone else too, like I so have to limit my just talking about the vanity metrics and all that stuff. Yeah. Like, I don't think like, I was talking to Mark too about this because he showed me the analytics for the Discord or something. And I was like, maybe don't tell me where those are or whatever. But like, it is so hard not to like chase vanity metrics, especially when like someone can make a similar video or same or like piece of art or creative media or whatever. And like,
and it just performs
better. Rewarded tenfold.
Feels bad,
and then
man.
To feel, and like the feeling of toiling away and stuff. Like, I just, it's so, I feel like it just has to be like, it can't be stressed enough. I feel like how important of a protective factor it can be to like limit, like it's so hard to do too, because like the curiosity and stuff.
No, of course. But I guess actually that is kind of like good advice, that if you're struggling with like toiling away on projects and feeling like not super fulfilled, like try taking a break from, you know, like the comparison thing and like analytics or numbers and like all of that kind of stuff, and like try just like immersing yourself more in like the heart of the thing, because it just feels better.
In the last week alone, I've made, I think that's the thing too, I get in my head about, especially with like music and stuff, because like I have so many things that I'm like so happy about, but I'm like, oh, this doesn't necessarily fit like a genre or this doesn't fit in like this mold, like, or this isn't going to be like palatable for someone else or whatever. And it's like, but then like, who am I making it for? Like, am I making it for myself or for someone else?
Exactly.
You know? And so I think it's that fine line. It's like hard. And kind of the same thing we go back to with the content. But I think, go ahead.
Really quick. Also, like, that's the purpose of art, right? Is like, we've talked a lot actually on the Discord about how creative pursuits and art and things like that are meant to be like a vehicle for you to process like emotions and to like externalize the things that exist internally for you. You know, like that's like the, not like the only purpose. Obviously, it's like designed to be uplifting and like, you know, viewed by people and whatever. But like, there is very much an emotional catharsis that happens with art and creativity. And that when you're making creative things solely for the purpose of like them being, you know, financially or like successful numbers wise, it does sort of rob you of that experience, which feels really bad.
I know, it sucks. Know? It's gross.
It's kind of gross. You're right though. This is, does like dovetail really nicely.
You dovetail us. I always do it.
We are talking this week about burnout and like work-life balance, all of those kinds of things. For those of you who don't know, I took a sabbatical from therapy in 2021, I think.
It was immediately after, because you basically ran yourself into the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, it was 2020. It was like 2 years ago.
Yes, because that was your test.
Yes, because basically I, in order to get the hours that were required to test for my LCSW,
yeah.
I was just like running myself into the fucking ground. You were like,
literally, how can I maximize how many clients a week
yes.
I can see without like fucking
like getting
depriving myself just of
this side yeah. of like full mental breakdown. And it also doesn't help that I had people in my life at that time that were like, financially, like literally and also emotionally and figuratively stealing from me.
That, I don't even get started on that whole.
We had like a lot going on. And so I took a sabbatical from therapy for 6 months, I think, and worked through some burnout stuff and was like also working through eating disorder stuff and was like in a lot of therapy. And I feel like we like as a couple have learned so much about ourselves and our lives, but also about like balancing work and like our real ass lives, you know?
If I may too, I'm gonna give a huge shout out. I know we talk about the Discord and stuff all the time.
Oh, I know.
But genuinely, the Discord I think has single-handedly helped us force us to not
yes
to like play games more and to like fuck off more.
Leisure time. Yeah.
And yeah, like actually leisure. Like we were working pretty good on it. I think it's so funny how long it's taken us to get here.
I know.
To this point. Because yes. I would say the burnout journey probably started with you.
Yeah.
You first.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk some more about that?
Yeah. I mean, the thing that's funny is that like both of us are very parentified children, right? Mm-hmm. In different ways.
Granted. Yeah.
But we did very much. I think that was also part of why we resonated with each other so much is that we both had the gold star student syndrome.
We talk about that in couples therapy all the time. We were two puzzle pieces just waiting to be fucking put together.
Yes. Yeah. Our dysfunction aligned perfectly.
But problematic.
Yes. So we've had to obviously do a lot of unlearning in that regard. But we were both like really sold this lie that if you achieve enough, if you work hard enough, if you try hard enough,
and you do it fast
enough, never rest and like work faster, harder, like more efficiently, try to be better harder, than all of your faster, peers. Stop it. I knew you were going to do that.
Faster, stronger.
That you will find like success and also fulfillment, right? That you will finally feel good about yourself.
There will be when a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes. And there never was.
And so on. And there never was. I just always, in my head, I always picture a little Shinji at the end of Evangelion at the end of it. And everyone just is sitting there saying, congratulations, you did it. We got married as fast as we could.
Yeah.
Thank God we didn't have kids as fast as we could.
We almost did though.
We almost fucking did. Thank fuck. I'm so was glad scared that we didn't have children.
Yeah.
When you were fevering up.
I was gunning for our achievements. Oh my God. Like the drums of
war over there.
We literally had a plan. We had a schedule. We had a schedule for when we were going to try to conceive a baby.
It would have been around this time.
But so that we could birth a baby in the timeline that I deemed most effective. Like this is the depths to which I am like a type A, like high achieving.
Because
I literally made a schedule about when we were going to try to conceive.
We would start having when we were 29 and a half.
Yes. And then also too, that if we hadn't conceived
that'd be this year.
Well, yes. But also if we hadn't conceived during this window that I had determined would be optimal for conception, both because of our schedules and because of work and also
career.
because of like the weather and like the temperature here for like late stage pregnancy. Cause I was like, I don't want to be big pregnant in summer.
Yes. Of course.
If we hadn't conceived during this window, then we were going to stop and we were going to wait. And then we would try to conceive again during another like optimal window.
Yeah.
Like, hello? Like, girlfriend, that's so
good.
Wild.
I'm like, is that just really good planning or is that problematic? I can't tell.
I feel like it's problematic. And also, too, we're going to talk later about some, like, control stuff because I have a little list on my phone that I've been keeping about, like, things I've learned since burnout. But that's part of it, which is the control thing. Like, I have so effectively, at least I'm, like, really trying to unlearn this idea that, like, not only is it necessary for me to control every aspect of my life, but that's a realistic possibility. Like, that's a real thing that I can do because I really was under the delusion that I could.
You and me both. Also, I've just had so many. At the time, I thought it was being dumb lucky, but also just a lot of privilege.
Sure.
But like, you and me very much, like, I'm sometimes like type A like that with certain things.
Yeah.
But other times I'm like, fucking ride the wave.
Let it go. I know.
Just fucking ride the lightning and hope for the fucking best.
No, literally.
Also, I forgot. We haven't had someone on the pod in so long.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I go grab them real quick?
What?
Do you mind holding on 1 second?
Who are you? Okay. Where are you going? It's our boyfriend.
I saw him a little while ago and I hadn't seen him
in a while. Mr. Worldwide. I saw somebody say that Mr. Worldwide is like a millennial fascination, and I was...
Is he?
I don't know. I guess Gen Z doesn't care about Pitbull. Like, rude. Shame on them. Because I care about Pitbull a lot. You should
care about Pitbull.
I know.
If it wasn't the Church of Snot, it'd be the...
The Church of Mr. Worldwide.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Global domination.
Are you more comfy now?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Okay, good. Yeah, so I guess... Question, where do you want to start? Because obviously we can tell somewhat of a chronological story, but we can also, I think, talk just more generally about themes, things that we've learned.
Yeah, I think my favorite part of the podcast too is with as much as you guys don't know what we're talking about, we also don't know what we're talking about at the same time. Like, we have actually no idea.
We weren't even
going to film today, first of all. Again, I don't know how this keeps happening.
Yeah.
I'm glad I wore my comfy camera appropriate clothes.
True.
I am also wearing a pimple patch. No one will know where it is.
You can't tell, though.
You can't tell. If you can't tell where it is, keep it to your fucking self.
Yeah, mind your business.
but yeah, I think let's do it kind of chronologically.
Okay.
Because I think so. Yeah, let's kind of start from the beginning.
Okay.
Where do you feel like the beginning is?
I mean, like, childhood, which obviously we don't need to recap all of that. Yeah. But, like, we've already talked about how we were both very Gold Star students, right?
Yes, so, like, and very much in the pursuit of doing things that were, you should either be doing something that was going to either lead to going to college.
Yep. Making
or
money.
Making money, or, like, something that was worthwhile your time. Also, don't do it if you're going to suck at it.
Yep.
Also, make sure you're good at it.
There was a heavy focus for both of us in uplifting our parents' reputations.
Okay.
Right? Like, both of our families were sort of like under this like Gen X impression that like being a good parent means that your kids do quote bigger and better than you did, right? Like my parents still use that phrase. And I think for a lot of people, especially like, you know, for my family, like we didn't grow up rich, like we didn't have money. So for my parents, they conceptualize their kids doing better and like being like, you know, in essence, like more safe and like more stable as having more money.
Yeah.
Right. Which like I get from the perspective of like, I don't want my kids to grow up in poverty.
No, of
but
course.
It did also do a number
on your
on our ability to discern, like, where do I want my life to go?
Because
I don't think I really asked myself that question about like, what do I want my life to look like?
I'm trying to think if I did.
Outside of the concept of money until I was like an adult. In like my 20s, probably.
I would say, honestly, I think what really probably did it was you not being good at math. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Like, true, but also
hurtful.
You've
told the story. You're just, I'm not good at math either, Pumpkin.
That's fair. Thank you.
I'm not good at
math. I mean, listen, I'm fine with it. I just was caught off guard that you would assault me.
I feel like there's nothing. Do you ever feel like you could go back and you would be better at math now?
Yeah.
Or, okay. I think sometimes too.
No, definitely. I think especially because at the time, it was very much a feeling of hopelessness. Like, I was just sort of toiling away.
Yeah.
Because my perspective was that like my life won't really start until I'm done with college.
Yeah.
So I had, this is a thing that I've struggled with in my life a lot. We're going to talk about this later, is that I want to do everything fast.
Oh,
I want to finish everything
every
right
project,
fucking now.
If it pops in your mind, it's got to be come to fruition
but
in the next.
Also, like, this is partially an ADHD thing, right?
Okay.
This is why I pissed my pants a lot as a kid. No, I'm so serious.
I like how because, me like, talking about you not being good at math, but you're like, let me just drop it. I've been peeing my pants.
That's a real thing. Also, I think we should destigmatize that for neurodivergent kids who like no one taught me how to check in with my body, but also like nobody had conversations with me about like, hey, seems like you have a pathological need to do everything quickly and that you will refuse to honor any of your bodily cues. If it means that you're going to feel left out of something, if it means that you feel you're going to like not finish something as efficiently as you could, or that it's going to like interrupt your flow and like, that's a problem, right? Like, that's not good for your body.
Right now, we're choosing to destigmatize it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've talked about it on the pod before.
Of course.
But no, like, there was a real issue for me at that point in my life that, like, I wanted to finish everything quickly. And so my perspective about math
and
science.
Before everyone else.
Yeah.
Like, but before our peers and.
Yes. Well, and that was also the thing that, like, you know, there was a couple people in our graduating class that, like, finished high school early. And so they started college early. And I was bitterly jealous of those people.
Jealous of those people?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Because I wanted to be the one who did everything first.
I
wanted to finish it faster.
Yeah.
I wanted to be the one that people, like, you know, when like the parents of our graduating class see each other at the grocery store, that they're like, oh, how's she doing? Oh, she's such a great student. Like, she's so good for her. I bet you're so proud of her. Like, I wanted to be that kid.
I also,
which is sad.
One of the realizations we also had about other kids too, or like having kids, is then we would have to deal with other kids' parents. That sounds fucking miserable.
Mm-mm.
I don't want no fucking part of that.
No.
That's all.
No, thank
you. Or like
you.
Parent-teacher nights and like
no.
Bumping into people that you
Woo.
Tend
having to
know
like
because
be
your
friends.
Children.
Yeah, because your children are friends. No.
as
we're
a
not good at that.
Anxious social little being.
Yeah.
Not for me.
Yeah. So I think, you know, you guys are sort of picking up the picture probably at this point that like this was a lifelong thing for us.
Yeah.
There wasn't really like a starting line in terms of like burnout because
it
also
was built, it wasn't a starting line because it was just built in from out of the womb.
Yes. Also of note here is that I decided when we graduated high school that I was going to go straight through college.
Yes.
So like,
what,
I mean,
what do you mean? And I didn't go to college to be clear. I have no credentials.
Shut up. But I decided like when I graduated high school, I wanted to go to college immediately. I wasn't taking a gap year or anything like that.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
But also that like when I finished my bachelor's, I had like gone back and forth about whether I wanted to go to grad school or not. And then I had a professor who was like, you should go to grad school. So I was like, okay. So I decided to take this like advanced.
Oh, but you had to. I mean, you didn't have to do that, but like
no, it was a
great
didn't.
Opportunity.
I chose to. Yeah. So I was able to finish my master's degree in one calendar year, but with no breaks. So
crazy.
I graduated with my BSW. I think I had like 2 weeks.
High school, BSW.
Yeah. And then I had like 2 weeks in between bachelor's degree and starting my master's degree.
Yeah.
And then I like straight through. So from the time that I was 5 years old to the time that I graduated with my master's degree, which was like what, when I was 22, 23?
23, 24,
I think it was 23. Yeah. There had been no breaks.
No.
No breaks in school. Like I was constantly doing something.
Yeah.
And so then like I started working right out of grad school.
Oh, immediately. I mean,
and
you started working in grad school.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically. I mean, like with my internship and all that stuff too. And so by the time that I hit burnout at like the age of what, 25, 26, probably
26. Cause it took you, cause their first year of doing your supervision was slow.
It took 3 years.
Yeah.
So I was 26.
Yeah.
So from the time that I was 5 years old to 26, there was like no breaks in productivity or this like pathological desire to finish everything as fast as possible, as efficiently as possible. And then I had like complete and total breakdown.
Like,
we hit a wall of like can no longer function at that point.
We basically subsisted on it's just one more thing. It's just one more thing. If we do this one more thing, and I don't know when it happened, but we were like, I don't think we ever are going to run out of one more things.
Exactly.
Like,
yes.
They just keep, we just keep getting one more thing into fucking oblivion.
Yes. And like, the other thing that like really hit me at that point was the feeling that like, cause I had still carried this belief about like, my life will finally start when, right? And at that point I was like, oh my God, like I am 26 years old.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, in the latter part of my 20s now, like I'm going to turn 30 and feel like my life hasn't started yet.
Yeah.
Which was like such a crushing realization.
But also too, can we talk about that coupled with like running headfirst into COVID? Like I feel like in so many ways, like COVID was like one of the worst things that could have ever happened. But
Absolutely.
Also like, I think it did change the trajectory
of our life for sure.
Because we're like, all of this like meant it was for what?
Yes.
Like we were running headfirst into
for what?
Like I felt, I feel like a little kid. Like there's a big bully or something, a big just fucking hand
on your head,
and you're just fucking trying to punch and get whatever hit you can get in. And you're like, you're never gonna get a hit on him.
No,
you're never gonna land something.
No, I feel like that was kind of almost like an ego death situation.
Yeah, actually,
for both of us to be like, listen, you can run as fast as you want to, but there is no point at which you will feel like your life has started,
and you can't
if you're committed to devaluing everything that you do in life.
Well, and also,
you
know, we're enjoying, like, I mean, we like weren't away or whatever, but like,
yeah, sure.
Very much though, we were like working, it was like working to the weekend so that we could.
We were living to work.
Living
at that
point. Yeah, no, honest to God.
And
yeah.
I think that was the other part of the issue is that both of us conceptualized work and financial achievement, professional achievement as the thing that we had to offer at the table. Like that was our life's purpose is like achieving, doing more, being better, making more money.
Yeah.
And like we weren't enjoying it. Like it wasn't fun.
Like,
it was sucking the fucking life out of
us. Yeah, like we were working towards the like, it's like that thing we talk about too so much in that like, oh, the thing that capitalism promises you and like the American dream really is like you get to work your ass off for 40 years.
Yes.
And then you get to retire.
Yeah.
Aren't you so
lucky? And then
your
life will be fun.
You get to spend the last half of your life after you've already given all your best years and your most mobile years and your most like keenly aware.
Yes. And also
years.
The years that most people are without children are like, you know, have less responsibility and less like demands on their time.
But how lucky for you that you get to now be old. Finally. And now hopefully you saved up. I hope you saved up enough money. Yeah. So now you get to travel, which also too, like, fucking that shit can eat dirt too, because no fucking company anymore offers, like, the, you know, if you do your 20 years,
there's no pension.
There's no pension. Like,
there's no retirement actually waiting for us.
No. Like, get fucking bent. Like, I'm going to look after me and my own now. And, like, you can fucking eat dirt.
Yes. I think that was also part of the realization for us is that we, at the time that COVID happened, you and I were still under the impression that eventually we will have children, right?
Oh, 100%.
We had, like, a plan. We had talked about it.
It maybe delayed it a little bit because we wanted to travel, because travel was the...
Well, that was the thing, is that 2020 and 2021 were going to be our years to do most of our big traveling, right? Like, that was something we wanted to do without kids. I know that you can travel with kids. I know, I do too.
Yes, you can technically travel with kids.
And that's fine. Like, I'm not shitting on that. I just know about myself that, like, I'm socially anxious. I have sensory issues.
If you've been around the pod long enough, you know, after last week's episode two, where I talked about, like, I would love that little bean to a fucking pulp.
I know.
And we would raise great fucking kids. So cute, I know. Like, I think we would have to cut off little pieces of ourselves.
Yes, and I'm not willing to do that. And that's fine. Like, anymore. I'm completely fine with being labeled as selfish.
Same.
For saying that I'm choosing to prioritize me and my partner. But also
selfish, bringing something into the world that
I don't disagree
wouldn't.
With that. Yeah. But like I said, I'm happy to be labeled as selfish. It is like a selfish decision, and like I stand behind that. Like, I'm not ashamed of that, you know? But so that was going to be our travel period. And then COVID happened. And so we were like, obviously, we're not fucking traveling anywhere.
Yeah.
And then COVID kept happening and is still happening. And so we were like, okay. And we had kind of like an existential crisis.
That kind of got in our way a little bit.
Well, we had like a little bit of a crisis too, though, about like we lost like a whole like 2 years of time
of that plan.
Yes. And so I was like, well, hold on a minute. Like, just because those 2 years passed doesn't mean we accomplished the things we wanted to accomplish.
Yep.
I'm not ready to have kids yet. Like, so we decided to put the brakes on it.
Yeah.
And then that all just sort of... tumbled into like, I think we don't want kids now.
No, honestly.
Anyways, I guess that's like sort of a convoluted...
We did tangent a little bit.
...picture
but...
of like particular note in regards to like how the burnout happened. Obviously, like we've already talked about, like me especially, I was like really doing
your
most.
Hours,
I was the little train that could. And so in like 2019 is when I started working like officially.
Yeah.
And then COVID happened. I had to learn how to do telehealth and all of that. That was very overwhelming.
Also keep in mind too, we were doing the channel at the same time too. Because we started the channel
2019.
Was it 2019?
Yep.
Was it really?
Yep, because the first video we filmed was in my first office.
Oh, yeah, you're right. No, you're totally right. It was.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because your supervisor at the time asked if we were filming...
a porno.
In
at the
office. In the middle of the day.
Yeah, because that was their first thought, is that clearly you're filming porn here.
Like, like we did technically have a couch and a camera, but like, why would that be your first?
But also, can I just say, if we were going to film a sex tape, we would film it at home.
Why would I make myself uncomfortable?
In my office.
I guess for the scenery aspect of it, I don't know.
I don't know.
No fanfic of that.
No, yeah, we're not. There's no OnlyFans content.
Stop it.
It's inappropriate.
Stop.
But so we were doing the channel and all of that at the same time.
Yeah.
And then things like changed.
Yeah.
There was a point in my like professional work that my relationship with the person that I was employed by took a turn.
It was a bit of an avalanche, and there's a little person holding it up, and
I haven't really spoken about that at length necessarily.
Do you want to, or
I don't know, should we?
I don't know,
is that fucked up?
No, I mean, do they even deserve?
Yeah, that's fair. They don't
have to be named.
No, yeah, I don't know to what degree that's discoverable, so we'll be vague. But the situation was basically that, like, there was a series of decisions that I didn't agree with.
Yeah.
That I didn't really have the power to like push back on. One of which was the rate for which I was working.
Oh my God.
The person that employed me felt strongly that my services were like not valuable enough to be billed at like a normal therapy rate.
Let's just say regularly we talked about how you would make more money working at any fast food restaurant.
Yeah,
and that was
Chipotle.
Before they raised the...
Yeah, because let's be clear, people who are associate level clinicians do make less money. Like they do charge less for copays and things like that because they're associate level and they're
new.
Still like, you know, cutting their teeth. But I was working for $20 a session
Yeah.
for like 2 years.
And like, no wonder your schedule was packed because you couldn't get cheaper. You were like the fucking, not the quality wise, but the Walmart of fucking therapy because like, where else could you find a $20 session?
Yes. Because also keep in mind that like, I was charging people $20 per session, but for a year and a half, 2 years, I wasn't taking home $20 a session. I was taking home 50% of that for a little while. And then like, you know, gradually I would take home more and more of it as time went on. And eventually I got to a place where I was taking home 100% of my copays, but not until like the very end.
Basically. Oh, and that's after you were you had to like complain and bitch and fight for, to get like just paid what you deserved.
Yeah. Peanuts.
Yeah.
So that was like part of the issue is that I was seeing like at one point I looked back at my schedule actually.
Oh, did you?
At one point I was seeing 8 clients a day for 5 days a week.
Because there's anything to get those hours done.
Yes. And getting paid $20 a session for all of that. So after a full week, like how much money is that? Like $8 times 20 is 160 times five is
16, 32.
So that's $800 a week.
Okay.
And I was taking home like 50% of that. Yeah. So divided by two.
It doesn't feel good.
Times four. So I was making $1,600 a month.
What? 800 a week?
Divided by two, because I was taking home $400.
Oh, yes.
I was taking home 50% of that. Yeah. So I was making $600 a month before taxes.
Yeah.
Before taking out 33% of that
you had to, pay
to
for
send to the fucking federal government.
Because you also had to pay for your own office, too, at that time, were you not?
No, at that point, my office was being paid for by someone else. But so, let's see, 33% of that. So I was taking home $1,072 a month. After taxes.
I think this is where, too, the YouTube stuff started coming up, popping up for us, too.
Yeah.
Because we're like, what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah.
Or you like, were like, what are you doing?
Why did I spend, I don't even know how much money I spent on undergrad. And then, you know, like, I mean, what, 15 grand for grad school.
Yeah.
Why did I, like, I probably over $100,000 in fucking student
easy.
Loans and all of this shit to make $1,000 a month.
Thanks.
I literally used to make more money working at a coffee shop.
Oh,
when I was
and you had a lot more fun.
At first.
At first, sorry. Well, boss aside.
It was certainly less emotionally traumatizing.
Boss aside.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was not a good situation. So that was all happening. And then I was also being like infantilized and treated like a child.
I know. I think that's the other thing too, is with the, like, at what point were you going to start being taken seriously and as an adult and as a professional?
I don't know.
Like what?
I don't know.
That.
It was like a whole, it was a very messy situation because there was also a lot of like boundary issues happening.
Yeah.
Where like I was being leaned on pretty heavily.
Oh my God. I know.
To, like
you essentially
like,
stood
keep
up a
the practice.
You stood up a practice by yourself
for
someone else.
I drafted the intake paperwork.
You
I
did
drafted
the logo.
I did the logo. I made the legal paperwork.
Oh, you did all those forms too, remember?
Oh, yeah.
All the intake?
And I wrote them from scratch.
Yeah.
I wrote the HIPAA disclosure. I did all of this research about how to start a private practice
as like
for
a fucking,
someone else and didn't get paid for it.
As a whatever out of call it like
yeah.
like
as like a 20
hadn't even been a month yet.
No. No, as like a 20-something year old, I wrote all of this paperwork and did all of this research about best practices and like legal, like liability and all of our like, you know, crossing the T's and dotting the I's. I did all of that and didn't get paid for it.
I know we like to use the phrase that like, if boys can do it, how hard could it be? But like the one thing we do say a lot is like, if your old boss could do it, how hard could it fucking be?
How hard
ain't
could
that
it really
fucking
be?
Truth? Because that I...
Yeah. Because there was also a fair amount of like... ethical concerns that I had about this
those
person's
we will not
behavior.
Be sharing on the...
No, and like when I would voice those, I would be told, you know, you're an intern, you're a child.
You don't understand, you don't get it.
It's none of your business, like mind your business basically. And I was like, okay.
Couldn't be
like,
us.
It's not my LCSW that you're playing games with. Like whatever, until it was, because that was also part of the issue is that at one point during my application for my LCSW, the person that I needed to like fill out my paperwork made some decisions that were like really scary and questionable. We're not going to like
name those.
But there was a point at which that I was like, this person might ruin my chance
this
to get an LCSW.
Might, before you even started.
After all of this
work.
While I was like hanging on by a thread because we were so close, like so close. All I needed to do was finish like 100 more hours and submit my paperwork. And this person almost completely fucking blew it by being irresponsible.
Years worth of
years.
Work.
Yeah.
Would it?
Because also at that point we were like, I just need to get, I need to get my LCSW and I need to get the fuck out of here.
Yes, get away from me, get away.
That's all I need to do. And that was like, thankfully it all worked out and I ended up getting my LCSW and I passed my exam.
Oh, you did so good. Oh, actually, I still have a video of that.
Oh yeah, you do.
Would you want me to share it in this clip?
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know what those clips are going to look like right now, but we'll share those with you now.
Yeah. I think it's footage like right after I passed my LCSW. Yeah. I was bawling. Yeah. I was so happy.
Oh yeah.
I was terrified.
I'll look back. I'll see what I have.
Yeah.
What are we going to do, babe?
Take my exam? Stop. I'm gonna cry.
That's fine. That's fine.
I'm like so overwhelmed.
You got this. You got this.
I know.
You want a tissue?
It's gonna be good.
It's gonna be great. You studied your ass off.
I did.
You know your shit. You know it like outside of the book though too. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay.
All right, let's get your phone connected.
Oh yeah, I have to do that still.
You're gonna do fucking great, babe.
I hope so.
You're like easily the smartest person I know. Jeez. And you like live, breathe, and eat therapy, so.
You try. Okay, hello, friends. Aaron's driving. I did it. I passed. Like, by a lot. I had a moment in the exam where I was like really mentally preparing myself to fail. And I like had this thought that like, okay, I'm gonna fail, and it's probably gonna be like by one fucking question. Some of those questions are really fucking hard. But I did it. I passed by like a pretty wide margin and I feel really good. We just got done at Total Wine buying champagne.
Because duh.
And I guess we're gonna go get lunch now. I don't know where Aaron's taking me. He's taking me somewhere that's a surprise. So I kind of just wanna like live my best life right now. So I'll probably just like check in on the camera later. So thanks. Okay, bye.
But yeah, so after I got my LCSW then is when like the shit really hit the fan.
Yeah.
That's like when things sort of blew up.
Can we talk about how, I think that's the thing too we don't conceptualize enough is we talk a lot of time, I guess, about like the damage that can be done to the body and then the time it takes to repair said damage.
Yeah.
So like working 5 days a week and then two days off on the weekend, like,
yeah,
like that's like enough to sustain, I feel like. Mm-hmm. But you're not doing any like repairing or like recovering or recuperating or recharging.
No.
And so I think, so if we put it into that context, from like when you started as a 5-year-old and this long journey you went on, and like 6 months is not going to heal two decades of fucking chasing the carrot,
overworking myself.
Yeah,
that's a good point. Because we were like very much under the impression, at least when I started my sabbatical, that like this will fix it.
This will make everything better. Also, it doesn't help that we also became polyamorous during that time.
Mm-hmm.
And we did lots of learning.
I think it was like just before that, actually.
Oh, was it?
And then during, because we had like opened our relationship a few months before all of this happened. And then the shit hit the fan.
Yeah.
We had like a trust rupture issue.
We did have a trust rupture.
And then we were working through that. Like all of the trust rupture stuff came to light.
You
want to
talk about a deconstruction?
Yeah. That was challenging.
Boy, did we have fun though. But look at us now. We actually just graduated from couples therapy.
We did.
Actually, this week.
Shout out to our couples therapist.
Yeah.
Oh. He's so cool.
That is probably, I know we've said this before, but I don't think, like, obviously I believe in therapy, of course, but I don't think you realize, like, looking back, like, we had our little, the reminiscing episode.
Yeah.
Like, the beach episode. and you don't realize how we should have been paying him so much more money.
That man, like, actually changed our life.
Yeah.
For real.
Without a doubt.
Shout out to them.
Yeah. But, like, seriously... it was quite the, I'm so sorry I got sidetracked.
No, it's okay. So anyways, we ended up having like our own relationship stuff happening at the same time that all of this was happening. I also left a like really toxic friendship with somebody who like I had discovered was like not just using me for my emotional labor and like exploiting me to like uplift them while they were committed to their like problematic patterns.
Yeah.
But also I found out that person had like targeted me from the beginning.
Because they knew you were a therapist.
Yes. This person like clocked that I was a therapist and then like wormed their way into my life with the express intent of exploiting me and using me for my emotional labor. And so that was like a whole thing. I just felt like I was being betrayed all over the place.
Yeah, I was a part of that too.
Yeah, that's okay. At least like yours was not with the express intent of you know, like hurting me.
No,
that was just like us being people and being flawed. You know?
And also my own set of like expectations that I was like, exactly. I'm doing the complete opposite now of everything.
Yes. Yeah, we were both trying to like regulate. So my professional life blew up in my face.
I blew up our personal our life.
Relationship. I don't think you blew it up.
I did not blow it up.
Yeah, no. Well, I think, I don't know. I think that's like an over
I think exaggeration. If that had happened on its own,
yes,
it might have been a little different.
Yeah, it wouldn't have felt, I think, probably quite as overwhelming.
Yeah.
So like all of these aspects of my life, like all sort of imploded at the same time. And then I also like had an eating disorder relapse at the same time that this was happening.
Yeah,
this was also the period of time where my dad almost died. So professional life blew up, relationships not going well, eating disorder relapse, very close friendship blew up, dad almost died. And like, we're still trying to like regulate and figure out like what the fuck is going
and
on here.
And run the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And not
all trying to do this, like, you know, being in the public eye.
Yes.
So, I mean, like, yeah, I think like complete and total like systems failures, like not really
an overestimation. All the fucking, just the check engine lights are all on.
Yeah, we were very much doing the thing of like, we'll take it to the mechanic after we get there.
After the wheels fall off. Yeah.
We were like cross country road tripping with a car that was just like,
ground.
So, I mean, that was a period of time where like I was pretty distant from the internet, except for like main channel content. Yeah. We were like, you know, just trying to keep our heads above water, basically. Yeah. But all of that culminated in me being in a bunch of therapy. I think you started therapy at the same time, too. And just like working through all of this stuff, which brings us to the point of the video where I have like some actually uplifting like life lessons kind of stuff. Do we want to talk about those?
Oh, yeah. Of course I do. Okay. Of course we do. Do you have them written down?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, amazing.
I sure do.
I should really start writing stuff down too.
My notes app, we've talked about this before. My notes app is truly just a disaster, but I am kind of grateful for it because I end up finding really interesting things in here sometimes. Okay. So the first thing that I wrote down, like the first like big realization that I had was that I, like pre-burnout, was very much a person who would pretend to be emotionally unaffected by things. Like I really did not make space for my emotions in my life.
Yeah.
And I think that period of time forced me to reckon with a lifetime's worth of repressed emotion that had never been expressed.
You kind of being the cool...
Very much so.
Cool wife a little bit. Yeah.
Definitely.
On a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Well, and not just like in my relationship, but just like in life. Yeah. You know, I was like the no worries person.
It's all good. It's
except
fine.
That like secretly I have six different types of worries.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so I have this list on my phone that's like things that made me cry on my period. And I started it mostly as like a funny thing.
Yeah.
But it is kind of like interesting because pre-burnout.
How long is this list? Or when did you start this?
Oh, just a few weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
But like pre-burnout, I was never this person.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like I very rarely cried. Like even when my dad almost died, I think I cried like one time.
Well, to be fair, we were in denial too.
Like, that too. But like I was just, I've very much been this person my whole life that like I don't have emotions. I run away from my emotions.
You're the person people come to.
Yes.
Yeah, you have to be
Hold other people's emotions. Yes, I don't have emotions. Like surely, you know?
Of course not. You a therapist?
Also my contact lens is like blurring and driving me bananas. I fixed it.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
But now I feel like after having done like all of the therapy, to be clear, I had been in therapy before that point in my life.
Many times. On and off. Yeah.
Yeah. But I was like doing this like, you know, mega therapy thing.
Mega,
with, like,
yeah.
I had a nutritionist and an eating disorder specialist and my regular therapist.
And then we were couples therapy.
And then couples therapy also. Yeah. So we were like doing the most. But after that period of time, I realized it was almost like somebody opened the floodgates. Where like now I'm just fucking emotional about everything.
Oh, man. Yeah. Like once you like, it's like once you have a good cry one time, now you're like, I cry about everything.
Yes. Yeah. We'll be sitting and watching a TV show, crying.
Okay, that's
listening
fair,
to music that I really enjoy, crying. Like running and I'm having a really great day, crying. Like I just have emotions about everything.
I kind of feel that sometimes though. I love that.
Me too. Because the upswing of it is that like in these really sweet and like, I don't know, like nice moments.
Yeah.
It feels like somebody has turned the volume up on my emotions about like everything.
Yeah.
You know? And so I just, I'm
it
like.
Makes you feel like a little less numb, it sounds like.
Or, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I was like.
Like your nervous system's like alive.
Very much dissociating my way through
powering,
life.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I feel like that shows up a lot now. And also too, we've talked about this before.
Oh, tell me.
I know that people flame me for liking astrology. I don't care. but you and I have talked a lot about how like this burnout recovery period, I feel like we've gotten more in touch with our like fire sign parts of our chart. Yeah.
Because that's been like, because it's season time.
Yes, it's Aries season. But I feel like we repressed a lot of that in our childhoods. We
absolutely did. Yeah, and in this effort and attempt to like be the coolest, most well put together, it was all a show to show like how like we have it all figured out. Like, why do 20 somethings need to have it figured out?
Literally.
And quite frankly, we shouldn't have it figured out. No. And honestly, like,
no one should.
No,
no one does. That's the thing
too. I think the realization that just like no one at any point in their fucking life has it figured out. And if they do, they're a fucking liar.
Liars.
I don't care what anyone says. Like, I think that's the thing too. We talk about, and we talk about comparison and all that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Just a tangent a little bit real quick though, is like when like this most, like the most well put together, well thought out, well like, content and outward appearance. And I'm like, I know you're a fucking wreck behind your perfectly curated Instagram posts. And like, like you're not fucking like, just, I think it would do everyone such a big fucking, I think Gen Z is reclaiming this a little bit too.
Yeah. Like the messiness thing.
Yeah. But like, just, I think it would do everyone such a service to just like care a little fucking less.
Yes.
On social media, like still be kind and compassionate and good people.
Of course.
But like, fuck, man, just like give it up.
Be
like,
more honest.
Like we don't have to girl or guy boss everything or fucking. Oh,
you
God.
Don't have to. Also, you don't have to pretend that you are unaffected and unbothered.
Yes.
And like so completely put together.
It's not cool
and
to not
like
care.
No, it's really not. And like, I wish that people would just be more honest about like their life
bitch.
Being
it's
a
cool.
mess. Yeah. Yes. Yes. I think there's also such a strength in honoring that like you are emotionally affected by things. Like that was sort of what helped me a lot, because before my perspective was that like being a strong person meant that you were just unaffected by life. Like I wasn't emotionally affected by anything ever, you know? And I reached this point obviously where the universe was like, fucking feel things, bitch. Like you can't, said, you can't run away.
It said another one, another one.
It felt very much like, especially because it happened near the time of my Saturn return.
Yeah.
And Saturn was like, really? You don't feel anything? Watch this.
Not
like,
this time.
How about this? You feel this one?
Dropping bomb them. Yes. Bomb them.
But like there was such a strength for me in just honoring that like, no, I am actually like very flappable. Like I am very emotionally affected by things. And like what a testament to my humanity that I like too. I do feel things, you know, there's something like really healing about like the fact that I am like very easily unsettled.
You know? I think that's been such an interesting and like a fun thing in many different ways for me to like like that's the thing we talk about too in relationships is like growing and like you should grow together as a couple, but also you should grow individually as people as well.
Yeah.
And like learning that like, oh, Mickey does have a lot of emotions and is not super cool. I think that was the most heartbreaking thing to learn about was all, I think the things that like still stick with me the most and like I am like fearful of. And so I do a lot of work to make sure that doesn't happen.
What?
But like knowing you were so, not miserable, I guess, in a sense. And like we were fine.
Yeah, I've never been miserable with you, to be clear.
But like we were, you weren't, I wasn't allowing, like you were stifling a lot of yourself.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You were like pushing down lots of aspects of your life and yourself and your personality to like make things smoother for us. And that like really fucking sucks to know that in the like, you know, now looking back on it now. And so I think that's the other thing we do a really good job of now is like, if we're interested in something or we want to do something, like
we talk about it.
We're talking about it. We're going to fucking do it.
Yes.
And like, I think for both of us, I think we've done a really good job
of
like claiming that, like, you know, oh, I don't want to step on your toes. You don't want to step on my toes. And like doing things that like genuinely fill our cups up now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The perspective shift that happened in our relationship about this was that it's not my job to shield your toes, right? That like I like the phrase we use all the time now is I can't be more on your side than you are. Like, we both had to learn that like my job is not to make decisions about my life and our life by like, you know, what you're interested in or what I think you want. I have to trust that you as an adult can tell me this is what I want. This is what I'm passionate about. These are like the hard limits and lines for me. And then obviously when you voice that to me, I'll respect that. Yeah. But like my life's work is not to intuit what it is that you need from me. Like
I think,
that's not fair as a person.
Perfect example of this. Literally last night we wanted some drinky poos and Mickey and I, as two enmeshed little bugs, decided, I was like, well, we can't have two separate ones. We have to have the same ones.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to buy two different things.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, we'll just get this other beer then.
Yeah.
And when I woke up this morning, so we got beer last night, whatever, and I do really enjoy the beer we got.
Yeah, sure.
But when I woke up this morning, I was like, you know what? No, I wanted to get something else.
Yes.
And I should have just got it, and we didn't need to both get the same thing.
Exactly.
And like, just like one of those little things where like, I kind of like
you defaulted.
Cut off a little bit of myself to like, mm-hmm. Make sure it's like the perfect and like pick yes. for you and like,
yeah, exactly.
You know, cover your emotions. Mm-hmm. We're like, that's not what you needed. You didn't ask for that.
Yes, exactly. And also like that's not fulfilling for me.
It doesn't do anyone. It's not fulfilling for me. It's not fulfilling for you.
Exactly.
So it's like, who is this helping?
So why are you chopping off little bits of yourself? Yeah. You know, like we both had to learn that lesson, I think, pretty
to be clear, that's a very keenly. Small
no, yes, example, of course.
But like you can apply that to bigger
yeah.
just to help people like
yeah, no,
get
I
a
mean,
sense of like
it happened in like larger ways in our relationship yeah. with like a bunch of different stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think like the first like big realization I had post burnout was the like I don't know, fallacy of like, you know, me not having emotions or like not being emotionally yeah. affected by things. And it's kind of fun now, honestly,
it's
to just
fun.
Like,
well, I'm kidding.
To give myself the space yeah. to just like before I would be like so embarrassed if I would like cry at the movie theater or whatever. And now I'm like definitely that bitch who's like just sobbing, not like in a disruptive way, obviously.
But if you want to sob disruptively, I, you know, sob
well,
your
like
heart
at
out.
Home and stuff, especially like I'll just, I'm sitting on the couch crying. I'm like crying, watching TikToks or whatever, you know, and it's just like,
it just is like,
yeah, that. It just, you just feel better.
I love
you know?
That. It's cathartic.
Have a good cry yeah, every
else,
now and again.
What else do you have on your list of?
Okay. We talked about the control thing
okay.
a little bit because this is another aspect. Like I think you and
control,
I both.
Oh my God. That is one. Yeah.
We have a pathological need to control ourselves and each other
our
and
environment.
Our environment and the world.
Letting go of trying to control your environment is like that will do your anxiety a service. Like,
yes. Like it does, but it's also just, awful.
Well, yeah. You have to learn. The beginning is not great, but
yeah.
like. I still struggle with it too, to be so clear.
It's really hard.
Yeah. It's,
this actually, you know what's funny? We've
tell
talked
me.
A little bit on the channel before about how I have like a bit of a touchy relationship with substances now.
Okay. Oh, yes.
Because
control.
During all of this realization about how like not only is it not good to try to control your environment, but you can't, right? Like
no,
during this realization that like you have never controlled your environment
you
or yourself.
You
thought you did.
You think you are.
But you fucking did not.
Also too, I think that's another thing we'd like go back to COVID though, but like it can disrupt like
yes.
something so out of your control can disrupt every
your
plan,
whole life.
Like everything.
Yes. And like there's nothing that you can do about it.
No.
You are ineffectual
no.
here. You know? And
you
like
no power.
It sucks. It
yeah.
feels really scary and really bad. But there's also kind of a freedom in the insignificance of it all that like it's not my job. I can't
no.
control like the objectives goings on of the world.
Yeah.
You know? Like I'm just an ant here
an
on an anthill.
Yeah.
And like I'm trying to do my best for me and my other ant friends. But you know, like
I'm one of your ant friends.
You're my ant friend.
Oh, bud.
But that's also like showed up a lot in these small ways, like with
yeah.
substances where like letting go of this delusion that I was ever able to control anything has meant now that like being out of control of my body is
yeah.
like very distressing.
Oh, understandably.
I don't like it at all because mm-hmm. I'm like keenly aware of like the lack of control there. So I'm still working through the anxiety
totally.
Of like, it's okay to not have
it's
control
kind of a scary thing.
Over everything all the time. Everybody, I don't know if is there something about my face or like my posture that like just says to people like, try to get this person to do hallucinogenics. Like, I don't know what
it's
it
weird that it's happened to you more than once.
So many times.
It is odd that
so
it
many times.
Happening.
Like, I don't know if there's something about my face or my posture or my appearance that just like invites this encouragement from people, both that I know and that I don't know. But like people have hit me up about this so many times and I'm like, I don't know, I'm not ready for that.
You know,
I can't even smoke weed.
That's
right
so funny.
Now.
Remember that one time we were
you
at
know?
The bar and some dude tried offering me some fucking
oh my God.
I don't know, thank God one of my other friends was sober.
One of my other friends was like, no,
he's okay.
fine.
I would not, let's just say I would not have been on this planet.
I don't think you would have survived that trip. You would be a different person.
Oh my God. Yeah, I can probably hear the earth moving.
Yeah, no, but
the tectonic plates below my feet.
The control thing has been really interesting and like useful
yeah.
because it's forced us to also like chase after the things that we really care about.
Yeah.
As opposed to like trying to center all of our time and attention onto like these things that feel like it's important for me to control these things.
Yeah.
You know?
Especially when you have a little letting go of the carrot, I think has really helped us.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Isn't it like we're just here and mm-hmm. then we won't be, and then like
yes,
we'll do our exactly. like, do our best and be good people while we are, and
mm-hmm. you know, yeah, it's not to say that you can't affect like the people around you or have some kind of influence or memories or whatever.
Yeah.
But like the idea that you can control the outcome of your life, especially, is so exhausting.
Yeah, because I was gonna say too,
I don't want to do that.
Because obviously, I think setting out like you're just saying like to setting out with that exact intent, like
yeah.
making that your like sole intention uh-huh. and purpose, like that will. That'll suck drain your battery so quickly.
Yes, yeah. yes. Because it's, first of all, not a possible thing to do, but it also is an exhausting exercise, you yeah. know? Like, you're just going to constantly, like, just bump up against this feeling of being ineffectual. And it's, like, really, I don't know, like, life sucking.
Yeah.
It's just not a fun thing to do.
I would imagine, too, that probably helps, or that probably contributes some to, like, imposter syndrome and stuff, too. Oh, like, yeah. Unable then to accomplish definitely. Things.
Yeah.
You want to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, do we want to talk about the last thing?
Yeah, I do want to talk about the last
thing. This is the speed thing, the efficiency thing.
Okay.
The thing that I have become acutely aware of in my life is that I feel a desire to do everything quickly.
Of course.
Because my concept of like doing things is intrinsically linked with the idea of achievement.
Yeah.
Like anytime I finish something, that's an achievement. You won. You did it. Gold star.
Here's your congratulations.
A+. And it's like an exhausting way to live your life.
Yeah.
Thinking that everything has to be an achievement and that like everything's a to-do list item.
Oh, same.
Well, even like self-care for us yeah. before, like taking time to like going to therapy, check. I did it. Like,
yeah.
do some yoga. Check. Do some meditation. Check. I did it. Like, it's all part of this to-do list that adds up to this greater picture of, like, am I a good person? And the metric for am I a good person is, have I achieved enough today?
Well, and also, too, that metric, with that in mind, too, like, are you doing the things because you want to?
Exactly.
Or because you're just getting them checked off the list?
That. It was definitely
like,
that
for me. Are
you
actually, like, in the moment?
Yeah.
Centering yourself and, like, mm-mm. being grounded? Mm-mm. And I think that's the thing we ran into a lot. And especially for me, my biggest hang-up is if I'm choosing to do something, then I'm choosing to not do something else.
Yes, it's always the opportunity cost.
Every option, every decision is...
it's a cost.
It's a cost, yeah. Yeah,
which is crushing.
Oh, it'll so fucking... It'll inducing. As someone who has been deeply depressed or who had the sads, that is how you say seasonal... Or no.
Seasonal affective disorder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That shit will fucking drain the fucking life out of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's not fun.
Also, too, every decision is wrong.
Yes.
Like, exactly. There's inherently nothing you can do to yes. maximize. I think I just get so caught up in, like, okay, I'm awake for 16 uh-huh. hours and I need to yeah. maximize every hour in that yes. period. And if I didn't, then, like, it was a waste of a day.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The concept of, like, what do I have to show for the yes. time I've spent on this thing has absolutely, like, stolen our lunch money.
Eviscerated.
You and me both.
Oh, absolutely.
especially, like, the thing that I noticed a lot in burnout recovery
yeah.
was this idea that, like, we're rushing towards leisure time. Like this was the one more thing. This is the one more thing.
Yes.
Thing. We would tell ourselves as soon as I get my LCSW
yep.
and then like I'll start my own practice and then our life will really begin and then we can travel and then we can have leisure time
yes.
and then maybe we'll have kids and then we'll do this and then we'll do that. And yep. it was all of these things that were like yep. predicated upon this idea that at one point you will feel as though you have reached the finish line of efficiency and you can breathe now.
Yes.
Except that you never do.
No,
we
you
never
just
keep
did. Going. You keep going and going and going yes. and going and no one ever tells you to stop.
We
like
were
says,
rushing
okay,
towards
good.
Leisure time, yes. but even when we would make it to leisure time, we couldn't enjoy the leisuring because we felt like we were losing out
you're
on
like
being
sitting there
productive.
Catching your breath still,
yes.
during the so you're not even
yes,
yeah.
So it was like always this losing thing, and like what we've started doing in the last couple of years is just like embracing the idea that like, oh well. Who cares?
It
like,
sucked.
We're or never like, going to fucking yeah. finish anything. We're never going to finish anything. Yeah. Like, obviously, we'll finish projects and whatever. But, like, my life is happening now. Like, my life has already started. My life is happening yes. now. And I don't want to look back, like, 5 years from now and think, like, look at all that leisure time that I fucking wasted. Like,
yeah,
look at all
like
that
sucking
time
the joy out of it.
that
yes.
we could have been playing video games and, like, working on a craft together
building
in the backyard.
Your computer was the best thing we ever did.
I know.
I was like, well, we're going to, because also I was like, well, we're going to get our money's worth out of this damn thing. And, yeah. like, meanwhile, now. We just play games
yes.
all the time and fuck
yeah.
off and
like also what a beautiful experience for like our relationship and
yeah.
the shared like quality time that we've spent but also the relationships that we've developed like on our Discord server
oh,
and with
so
our
so.
Friends and like
yeah.
people that we share
I feel like
community
it's made our
with
relationships better
yeah,
yeah
yeah like the people that we you know play D&D with and all of
oh
that
my God,
like
yes.
we have done such a better job I think of being checked in a communal sense
yeah
and like really sharing space with each other.
Oh, yeah.
Like, not just with, you know, like, you and me,
no,
but, like,
but
with
other,
community.
Yeah.
yeah.
I think it's, I guess the other thing too is like, even like with like perfect example is like, I used to play a bunch of video games and stuff growing up, and there's always this connotation of like, oh, you shouldn't be doing that, or like, you know, like there's judgment passed with it. Mm-hmm. And so now, up until recently, I was like, well, if I'm choosing to play video games, I'm inherently doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. Or like playing D&D with our friends mm-hmm. is like, oh, well, you're taking time away from
something else
you could have been doing, being productive and like doing something else to have something to show for it. And like playing and hanging with our friends is something to show for. It's like,
Yes, that is
exactly. a thing to show for.
The funny thing that's happened for both of us too is that like a lot of this deconstruction happened alongside our like polyamorous deconstruction, right?
Yeah. We just broke everything down all at the same time.
It does really feel
we'll build it again.
Well, yeah, it feels like in the Dave and Bethy deconstruction video, Dave talks about like the thread pulling thing.
Yeah,
and it was very much
the same. We talked about
somebody. I don't know if it was you or me or just like the universe took one card from the bottom of our house of cards, and that bitch came tumbling down
so fast, so quickly. That was like one conversation over Taco Bell at dinner. Yes. I think I remember just like, hey, what if we were like polyamorous or something?
And I was like, yeah. But we deconstructed a lot of these ideas about like not just our relationship, but also about like our lives in the world and like realized that so much of our like our values about, you know, how to determine if you're a good person or if your life is valuable or worth living or whatever.
Yeah.
It was all based in this capitalist lie, this idea that like your productivity is the paramount the paramount importance in your existence.
That just sucked my soul.
It did. And like, fuck that shit. This is why we talk all the time on the channel about how like rebellion and like, you know, organization or like collective action of like resistance looks like reclaiming your time.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to look like becoming a politician and like, you know, like running for office to change legislation.
No, like,
it can look like you and your community and the people that you share space with saying, fuck that shit.
Yeah.
Like I am clocking in and clocking out to the bare minimum degree that I need to keep myself and my loved ones alive. Yeah. That's it. The rest of this time is mine. Fuck that shit.
Yeah, like you already get enough of it. Yes.
I'm not orienting my life around this ideal of capitalist achievement because it's predicated upon this value system that will steal my life and my time. Fuck that
and
shit.
Spit you
I'm not
out,
doing that anymore.
And then spit you out and you don't get fucking dick all at the end
of it. Yes. It feels like that scene in Jurassic Park when he's like at the beginning and he's like, see, nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Like that's what I felt like when we went through burnout, where like I, at the age of like 26 or 27, whatever, we had so much to show for our life and like all of this achievement. Nobody cares though.
No one gives
a fuck. Who fucking cares? Like, where are your friends?
Because also
there's
always someone doing more.
Yes.
There's always someone doing less.
Yes.
There's someone right next to you doing the same shit.
Exactly.
Like, everyone like, out here is just trying to figure it out and make
Where is the community and the people that you're sharing your life with?
No,
like,
literally.
What about those relationships? What do those look like right now? And like, not great.
Not a lot.
If we're being
not
honest. At that point in our life, we had neglected pretty much everybody that wasn't you or me.
Yep.
Or like the absolute bare minimum that we needed to like survive, you know? And like, that was a really sobering realization that like,
it's
we're
crushing.
Structuring our life to uplift people who don't give a fuck about us.
Exactly.
Why would I do that?
And like,
why would I want that?
And as you say all the time, for what?
Literally, for why?
For why?
You did this for what? Like, it ultimately didn't end up...
feel better about it.
It didn't
no
make me
cared.
A better person.
No.
It didn't mean that I was better than anybody else. And, like, also, too, if anything, we had to do a lot of, like, deconstruction
also too,
to make our life better.
That time we spent not fucking off as kids, we just ended up doing later on. And then just uprooted everything we had otherwise held.
Yes.
Our values and...
Yeah. That's
norms.
That's been like a big thing for us is like reclaiming our like youth and messiness and silliness, especially like the creativity aspect of that.
Creativity. I like that one. That one's fun. I like that one. That one's the fun messy.
Listen, I think there obviously like sometimes the messiness, we didn't necessarily go about it in the best way, but also I think it was kind of healing for us like, you know, cause both of us have made decisions that wounded the other person. That's like how relationships work. Mm-hmm. But part of, I think the growth there is realizing that like I made a bad decision that hurt you or you made a bad decision that hurt me and I love you. Right. Like
that's the thing. We
you're
come
still
back
a good person.
All the time.
You're still a person that is valuable and like worth being in relationship
but
with.
Also never maliciously.
No,
just out of pure ignorance
no, of
and like
we're
selfish
just dumb. Yeah.
Gut instinct. And
Well, and also again, because we didn't get to do any of that learning when we were children.
No,
right.
We were like fucking too busy.
We existed in these systems that were like very fixated with the idea of conditional love and conditional approval.
If we had just smoked weed in high school, we probably would have had these realizations. information yeah. a long time ago.
No, definitely. We should have just done more drugs in high school. I think that probably would have
fixed it. That's the moral of the story.
No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just joking. A therapist
just prescribed doing more
drugs.
Don't
do that. You heard it here first. I'm just joking. Canceled immediately. But no, for real. Like, I think us choosing to like let go of this like perfect gold star student yeah. thing, it meant that obviously at some points, like you and I were collateral damage in each other's growth.
Unfortunately.
But it was very healing to fuck up and make shitty decisions and then have this person who was standing there and saying that, like,
always have
I
your fucking back.
Still love you very much. Like,
yes.
Bad decision. Didn't love that.
I don't like
Please
the way it made
never
me feel.
Do that again. Like, yeah. we're not normalizing that as a yes. value in our relationship, but like, you're still good. You're still good on the inside.
I think too, because we joke so much about like keeping your standards up and raising your standards yeah. and like those can change.
Oh, definitely. Like, I feel like ours have risen a lot.
So many times in our lives we've yeah. like had to change, and like I'll be honest too, a lot of those times I'm the one that's like had to like step up to the plate
mm-hmm.
But like at the end of the day I will always choose to be a little bit uncomfortable,
Me
a little
too.
Bit out of my element, out of my
yes.
depth
yes.
if it means continuing to be in a relationship with you,
yes,
you know,
and like feeling closer and more connected yeah. with you, like that's worth
too,
it over and over again.
Overcome How did I even do that?
Ever overcome
it has without a doubt made us stronger and like
I think so too
bonded, you know, as if we needed yeah. to be any more enmeshed.
That's fair. We should really stop saying
that. But also
that.
Though, we learned in our last uh-huh. episode of Couples Therapy, we just talked about how we use the word pathologizing a lot in
yeah.
that one. And
yeah. I think we pathologize our connection a lot and we maybe yeah. shouldn't do that.
And we really don't need to. I'm fine with it. I'm happy. I think this is a
we
thing.
Just really like each other.
It just this is a thing that doesn't hurt anyone.
Especially I know you're memeing, but I'm being serious. Like, especially
serious
in
too.
The last like probably 2 years,
yeah.
we've made a concerted effort to grow our own sense of community outside of our
of
relationship.
Course.
And we're not like incapable of existing without the other person. We just prefer to spend a lot of time together.
We do get each other.
We just really like each other. I think
I
it's
like
really
it.
Some best friend shit. And I'm like, I'm not
it
ashamed
is.
Of that.
I know.
We've known each other I since we were kids. Of course, you're my best friend.
I wish everyone.
I know.
Yeah.
Thanks okay. for being my bestie.
Oh, thanks for being my bestie. It's not going to
work.
We
watched an anime recently as like sort of a joke. It started as a
so
meme.
So Mickey was doing something and I was like, oh, I'm just going to pick whatever this like category. And I just closed sure. my eyes and picked one. And then
it ended up being really good.
Tomo-chan is a girl.
We watched. Yeah, that's our rec for this week, which is Tomo-chan is a girl. It's on Crunchyroll.
It is on Crunchyroll. Also, why? PS fucking A.
Oh,
why?
Good catch.
Why? Why? If we pay for a subscription of Crunchyroll through Amazon.
Correct.
We watched did. This series. We did. And then the last episode just isn't on Amazon's
the
Crunchyroll.
The season finale is not on Crunchyroll through Amazon Prime.
But it's on Crunchyroll.
So if you have a Crunchyroll subscription, which is like an anime subscription, through Amazon Prime Video, the finale for Tomo-chan is a Girl is not on there. So you have to go to actual Crunchyroll.
Get a different subscription.
And then watch the 13th episode through there. I don't know why.
Canceled.
It was
canceled.
Enraging. So we canceled our Crunchyroll subscription through Amazon. And now we're just
like,
paying
this
for
can't
it
be
separately.
That last episode. Like, that makes no sense.
That's why I was like so upset.
It makes no sense.
It doesn't make. I was like, there's no way that this cute little rom-com anime doesn't end with the two main love interests at least having a kiss. Hello? But yeah, so that's our rec for the week. If you want yep. just a like silly, I think it's meant for like teenagers.
I don't know who the target audience is.
But I don't care. I really enjoyed it. It was
the
just
intro
a silly,
song is amazing.
It was a silly little rom-com and I liked it a lot.
It just was such great.
And it's like nothing TV kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, it was perfect.
We love now, a good emotionally yep. unvolatile show.
And just for so we can keep up, we are watching Frey Run.
I don't know what it's called. It's like if D&D were an anime.
It really does feel that way.
It's
and I like
really
it.
Cute.
We don't spoil it.
We're only on like episode 3.
That's what our. So. That's what we're starting next.
Yep.
So if anyone wants to watch it while we're watching it,
yeah,
we'll check back in.
But yeah, I feel like that's a nice place to wrap
also,
up for today.
Also, another huge tip. I know the
what?
Discord actually just started doing this too.
What?
But the way we've been picking movies and shows now,
yes.
random number generator. Both people put a couple movies on a
highly
list,
recommend.
And then you watch whatever it picks. You watch.
Yes.
So
that's the rule.
And that's the rule.
We've been having movie night like fairly regularly. We've watched almost all of the Ghibli movies.
Oh, and that's something we would not have done before because we were so worried. We were working ourselves until we were just like too tired to enjoy
it was a regular occurrence that I would work up until the time we went to bed.
Yeah.
So like I would be at my computer working until like 12:30 or 1 a.m. and then go to sleep and then wake up and then do it all again.
Do it all again. For
terrible.
Why?
And now we fill that time with movie night.
Oh my God.
And cuddling on the couch. It's so fun.
I couldn't go back.
I love it.
I love our leisure time.
Me too.
All right.
I feel like a good, like a person. Now.
Leisure time makes you feel like a person.
Which is maybe...
Humans aren't meant to be... No. Capitalism and like technology has ruined... We could get on another tangent. Maybe that's another episode. This episode's already long enough.
Yeah.
But humans are not meant to... We're meant to leisure and be communal.
Like, especially from an evolutionary perspective. Like, the advent of technology has made it so much easier for our employers to exploit us and to like eke out so much more productivity from their employees. And it's not meant to be that way.
Don't even get me started
on it. It's not meant to be that way.
Don't get me started on it.
Our other rec for this week is to take your time back. Reclaim your time, Senator, and like spend time by yourself.
Thank you everyone for watching this week's episode. Yeah. I'm gonna start outroing us or else we're gonna tangent our way into another
another
hour.
Yeah, so. If you guys want to support the podcast or the channel, you can like the videos and subscribe. We also have a Patreon that's filled with our
wonderful so friends.
We do patron only live streams every month, and we hang out in our Discord server all the time.
Also, shout out to all the new mods. Welcome. Yeah. Thank you guys
our
so much.
Our mod team is ginormous now, but our Discord server has 600 people in it.
We are mighty.
That's fair.
But seriously, come body double with us. Come watch the movies.
Yeah.
We and play games. And
yeah, it's very fun. All right. We love you all the most, and thank you for supporting us, and we will see you for the next episode.
Bye.